continuing on the idea of what pillars are. Believe it or not, the scriptures say that, and these are the red words, Jesus said, whatsoever you sayeth shall be done for you. Not what you think, what you say. Now, is it possible to say without thought? That's the big question.
Kind of like you're condemned by your thoughts.
That's what we're going to study. I believe that what we say, or we desire to say, all the time. But a certain phenomena takes place. In what a long time ago I called Satan's half second. And what it is the saying, just as it comes out, then there's the competing thoughts come into being. And so the competing thoughts are, you know, if you just say what's there all the time, then you're going to end up as foolish as Oli is, because you just, you know, without regard to morals or whatever is going on, or whether it's a cuss word or not in Bible study, you just say. So what happens? The pillars then compete, and all of these, the appropriate pillar comes into play, and it says, is this appropriate for me to say? Will I be shamed if I say it? If I read that whatsoever you sayeth, it shall be done for you, then the thoughts come in and says, no, that won't happen. But whatever it is, there's all of these infinite number of pillars in your brain that have come from the process of learning to think, or learning to be, trying to learn to be. So you've got all of these competing pillars. What? And the pillars keep you from saying.
Just think about stuttering.
What?
Just think about stuttering, for an example. If that's what's going on.
Yeah.
It's observable in speech patterns.
And so the predicate of this is it possible for you to believe that you can say without thought? And is that a thing that you would like to do? Now, if you study, let's go to John chapter 5. In verse 19, he's been talking at the pool of Bethsaida, and he healed a man. And then in verse 16 it says, therefore the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things in the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. We can't understand that in English, but it means whatever the Father does is done. It's just boom. He didn't do anything. He didn't. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. It's not my Father worketh, and I think about it, and then I determine the various conditions of it, and what the. It says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he also said that he said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing. It says of here, but in Greek it's from. The Son can do nothing from himself. Now, the reason the Son can do nothing from himself, prior to his baptism, he could have done everything from himself. And that's why he was tempted after the baptism to see whether or not he would continue to lean on his own arm of understanding, which he learned not to do in the silent years, or now is he going to continue to lean? The baptism was his death that fulfilled all righteousness as Son of Man. Is that comprehensible? Where baptism isn't where you get wet, it's where you die, where you are buried. It's a testimony that you understand your death and that you are and you then are buried. And so you then are empowered to say, whatever the Father worketh hitherto and I work, because now it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It doesn't go through all of the templates of your mind. Does anybody understand this? Does anybody believe it? Do you understand that baptism was your death? Or burial? Or did you just get wet? The Son, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing from himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. There's no thought process. It's boom, boom, boom. It's instantaneous. Why? How? How can this be? The process of being transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind, and the renewing of your mind is essentially the emptying of your mind. Not making the mind better. The only way it can happen is when you finally come to the understanding that you cannot trust your mind for anything. Then you can see what the Father says, or whatever is there, you do. Whatever is there, you say. That's what the whole idea of prophecy is. Can you see that? The bride is the type of the wine. The wine ferments and slowly bubbles up and keeps bubbling up, goes through seven lees, which is the time period for our sanctification. Each one of the lees, the dregs in the wine fall to the bottom, and the what's bubbled forth at the top gets scraped off, then the whole thing is poured into the next vat, and that's done seven times until the wine is pure, or in this analogy, until you see the emptiness of thought. Now, if you don't see the emptiness, I'm telling you not to think. You have to think more completely than you've ever thought before to come to this place. But you can never again be deceived by your opinions, by the templates that you've learned, by the mores of the social behavior that you've learned, because we are no longer, what does it say in Romans 12? You present your body as a living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable to God. It's your reasonable service, that you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's only one good and acceptable perfect will of God. That's Jesus Christ. And so you are going through this process of testing the lees, or going through the lees, so that you always prophesy, and sometimes dead elephants come out because you've spent a lifetime damming it up. And so it's embarrassing. You got to say stuff that you're just totally embarrassed about. But God wants you in the same position that Christ was. Whatever he saw the Father do, he did. There was no process. There was no thought. He had already taken thought to the ultimate extreme. Now the thing that then, the main manifestation of these pillars that are the mortal enemy of faith is mind talk. Because mind talk originates in your Jerusalem that now is, your Sanhedrin with the board of elders up there. And they compete, instead of the spontaneity and the childlike abandonment, they're trying to make you be reasonable, say the right thing at the right time, and this has to be this way, and that has to be that way. Remember, the whole point of the mystery of God is to lose the capacity to think that the minute moment that you're in should be different than it is. And that includes this instantaneous union that you have with the Father. The whole point, the real Lord's prayer is John 17. His prayer is that they may be one, as the Father and I are one, that they may be one in us. There's no separation. So whether it's shame or pride, it's the same thing. It's separation. It's two sides of the same coin. And so either you're protecting yourself so you don't look foolish, or you're concerned with how somebody's going to respond to you, or you're concerned about whether this will affect your future, so you don't just be, because your being is always compared to all of the templates of your mind and what the behavior pattern was and all the past and all the projections. Now, where we are spiritually, there is nothing more important than for you to understand this. And so when you tell me you're just thinking about something, the only purpose in thinking about it is to push it to the end, to find out whether or not, and be with the Bereans, that you search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. If they're not true, then you should leave. But don't sit here and play the games of your mind. It's just crazy. And you say, well, I can't do it. Well, yes, you can. You just have to be willing in the day of His power. And if there's anything that you believe that your mind will, or anyone's mind can attain for you, then we'll discuss it. Now, in a nutshell, this is the singular way of destroying or making the pillars of none effect. To make the pillars of none effect means that you owe your flesh nothing, because it's just dust. It's made from dust. It is as meaningful as dust, and it's as deceptive as a snake, because all a snake can do is eat dust. And so you go over and over and over, and you have all these discussions and transactions in your mind, and you think these great and good ideas that's going to save the universe, and they're worse than dumb. Oh, but you don't understand. I've got a really good idea. This will make us rich. You already are at the first source of everything. Why would you ever worry about money? You're the first. You're in Him and of Him. The world was created by Him and for Him, and by it it consists. How could you be concerned for anything? How could you be worried about somebody? How could you be angry at somebody? But no, you've got to play the games in your mind. Oh, you don't understand the condition I'm in or situation I'm in. You wouldn't say this. Oh, yes, I do understand it. Because it's just common, ordinary flesh. Boring. Now, this is the introduction to pillars. We finally made it to the short grass. Anybody have any response to this?
Yeah, we have Manu living with us, our Indian exchange student, and, his culture shares a whole bunch of the same pillars that we do because of the, British were over there for the war. Man, there's some of them I've never heard of, that he's following, we don't know it. It's like, why are you doing this? But the result of seeing that is to see, it's like, if whatever my pillar was true, then it would be universal and it would be...
has some value.
Yeah, but it's not. Everybody's got these weird things and they conflict. And cross-culturally they conflict, and even inside your own head they conflict, and you're, you know, and it's all, you know, saying this. One thing when you're talking about pillars, I don't know, people may hear that and think, well, are these like holding something up? What are these? You know, it's like this, it's just this thing with a sign on it. It's like, here's what we believe, or
here's what I believe about that.
Yeah,
here's what's the proper or improper thing about that.
We can all get together and agree on this thing, right? You know, I mean, fertility success is good or something.
Remember, the basis of all pillars is self-realization. You're hardwired for it. And just look around you. Well, just look at anybody you even know. Or, I mean, that's the only advantage that I had when I worked and did around all over the country and all over the world was that I met all of the leaders of the world, or a lot of them. And, you know, I used to tell you the story about life is like an airplane. You start out and coach, and they go, well, I can just get to first class. And you, in first class, if I can just get up to that royal class, and you get up to royal class, and if I could just get into the cockpit, and then you get into the cockpit and you find out nobody's there. And so the whole point of all of the things that you desire the best for your children, and you desire family values, and you desire to live in a godly country, or whatever crap you're listening to in your mind, it's all crap, because we are not of this world. Being not of this world, then we are, everything comes from a source that's outside of time, and anything that comes from within time isn't worthy to be looked at or even given, it's not worthy to be even given a hair's breadth. Now, you think, how is it possible? Why is everything if you believe what I do, that the Book of Revelation is this overview of all of time and space? Why does it say before all this other stuff can happen that there's silence in the temple for the space of a half hour? Because you've shut up the mind talk, you've seen the emptiness of it, the vanity of it, the futility of it. Sit there. And you even do it about Scripture. You say, well, this is what I think that means. Nobody cares what you think it means. And especially, you shouldn't care what you think it means. Oh, I'm just trying to understand. Then you're still working it. You've just got to come to the place where you just be. And that can only come from repentance. And if you even, if even a hint of you as the subject of your sentence in your mind comes up, it's this, you've crucified the Son of God afresh. And that's why this way gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower until there's only Him. And you're not doing anything, you're just agreeing with what any reasonable person can look at and see, that everything else is stupid. So, pillars, can you see how they are the greatest enemy of faith? And some of you have a veritable forest of pillars, because you've got an opinion about everything, and it's just crap. Test your opinion. If you've got an opinion, expand the tent pegs to the edge of time and space and see if your opinion even is a vapor of smoke. I promise you it isn't.
Oh, this is what I believe about that, and this is what I believe about politics.
Well, nobody cares. And it's all stupid. All systems are corrupt because they are they came from that which has fallen. Somebody must have an opinion. That was the introduction to pillars. We'll get into it a little more deeply as we go.
It's pretty offensive about everything that anybody could possibly.
That's right. It's the offense of the cross.
Think about there's self-realization that's fundamental, and then there's self-preservation.
Same thing.
And then there's self-memorialization. You know,
same thing. It's all the same side.
The same thing, trying to capture some beautiful essence of your being and think it has value.
Remember, for over the years, the thing that everybody has at one time or another came to me and thought they were going through something special. What was my response universally? It has just common, ordinary just as common as dirt. You're not going through anything special. Just doing dirt stuff. What? You're thinking about it?
It really is a cogent home. The bread, the wine, 7 lees, 7 days, 7 times 7 is 49, 13 sieves, Christ is the bread and the wine. I mean, it all...
Just one story.
It all says exactly the same. It's phenomenal. You know, think about this is just basic.
Do me a favor, please. Never again say I'm thinking about.
Everything your mind does is just fundamental what your mind does, and even then here you'll be talking, and as you're talking, I will erect a pillar to examine it and look at it and write on it and figure it out.
I'm cursed with the ability to see you erecting that.
Yeah. And it's like, once I've done that, the only thing left to do is repent of it and explode it. You know, it's like, yeah, rather than memorialize it and worship it.
You can't, you don't get rid of it by fighting against it. You get rid of it by saying it's stupid.
Meat necessary for repentance.
Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, vanity doesn't mean you like to look at yourself in the mirror. The meaning of vanity in this, well, meaning that's just really stupid vanity. But the vanity of the scriptures is empty, futile, purposeless.
The thing is, it's not a real thing. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's not concrete with rebar in it or something.
Just air.
It's like something on Star Trek in the holosuite. It's a made up. It's a made up. It's not even smoke. It's just
what with the holosuite.
They know what I'm talking about. You know, computer generated hologram thing that you think is real, and it's really it's not there. It's just a made up thing.
Well, I was just thinking about flush.
The ultimate evil is to try and pillarize the cross, the message of the cross.
It's funny you should say that. Now he's going to get mad at me. No, the cross has nothing attractive on it. That's why the cross is the real tree of life. But the trees of life and the pillars that we have in our mind, we've decorated with all kinds of little shiny things, with bling. And they're just crazy. They're just the only tree of life is the cross. The ugly shame of the cross. John?
Difference between the faith in Christ and the faith of Christ.
Amen. And so that's why, I mean, the Corinthian heresy is, from God's perspective, is so evil. And remember, the Corinthian heresy, in essence, all has to do with the purpose of Christ in all its manifestations. It's that the purpose of Christ is to make any moment that you're in good, and you'll be a feeling of fulfillment and a promise of something, but eventually the real bottom line Corinthian heresy, other than just the health and wealth gospel, was that they were going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and Christ was going to come back and reign for 1,000 years. That was the real essence of the Corinthian heresy, because it continued the illusion of a earthly kingdom after Christ had destroyed it. So now the kingdom of God is our reality. It's all around us if we have eyes to see. But as long as we're trying to build a kingdom of God on earth, then everything is, from God's perspective, everything is lost. That's why this one night of the last day has lasted 2,000 years. Because God's people have tried to make the kingdom of God on earth instead of in earth. doesn't matter what political bent it is, as long as it's on, instead it is, then you've made the cross, you've made Christ of none effect. So it's time you move in every arena of your life from faith in Christ to living by the faith of Christ, as John said. And that requires a total understanding that everything else is futile and empty, a vapor of smoke at its best. And that's not, I mean, you can, what's funny is all of you can admit that. You can say it until your pet pillar, the one that you have painted and nice, and until it gets attacked.
I went to a funeral Saturday of a woman that worked for years in our printers. You know, it's not really in my company, but I was there. You know, I've been there so long, I'm about the only one who remembered her from our side. So I went and it was in the little Seventh-day Adventist church in Grand Prairie. And it was, you know, just a kind of a funky, eclectic group of people. They're very simple, and, you know, they sang songs. And, you know, as far as the surface, it was great. But I was noticing that, you know, there was people from our print shop, you know, that they came because they knew. And, you know, the thought that occurred to me was that at a point where you're confronting death at funerals, wild things happen. And people are, you know, things come out, talking about like speaking or you know, letting out what's there. It happens at the point, you know, in a funeral it's sort of arbitrary because you're forced to face death, you know, your own death. And but what you're talking about is like, you know, that's recognizing that's there all the time. So that, you know, the kind of yesh thing that happens at a funeral a lot of times will happen all the time, because you're carrying around your own funeral, you know, and you're faced with that all the time. And I mean, there was this, you know, a woman, she was really overcome, you know, and I was thinking, overcome by, you know, grief that this person was gone, but also, you know, knowing that you're gonna die, and, you know, wondering what's going on, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going through people's heads.
You remember, yesh is Jesus' first name, and yesh means the breaking of a, like, it's the flowing outflow that comes from the breaking of a very big dam.
Thanks for clearing that up. I never heard yesh.
Yeah, it's a little jargon.
It's a Hebrew word. Yesh means to, it's the breaking of a dam, but it's Yeshua is Christ's name in Hebrew. So it's Jesus' first Yeshua. So salvation comes from the breaking of that dam, because salvation has already come to every man, but we've tried to use it for our own purposes.
I guess it's once we realize and agree that we want that breaking always to be there, then God is able to do stuff. We got all kinds of reasons why it shouldn't be, you know, what should be maintained, then, you know.
Right, that's why the thing is, that's why if to go to the church of your choice and expect to be moved by God is a contradiction in terms, because you will automatically choose people like you with the same pillars, and that the whole you associate with people with, that's the ones you like because they have common pillars. And so by that's why the community or a body of believers should be is weird. I mean, because that, then the competing, it should be like a whole bunch of Manus from different cultures, so that every one of the pillars will compete against yours. So that there is fire, and there is explosion. So that you can see through the emptiness of the, oh, I'll tell you one goddamn thing. This is how it's supposed to be.
or I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Republican, or I'm an independent, or I'm this, or I'm that, ad nauseum. This is what I think about that.
That reminds me of Bloom talking about sitting, you can sit through a trial, a 3-month trial, a murder trial, and hear all kinds of evidence, all kinds of witnesses, and the people who are there on behalf of the victim will see and hear one set of reality, and the people who are there on behalf of the accused will hear another set of reality, and both totally believe that that is reality. And that's what you were just talking about, the idea of being mixed with people and finding out, wait a minute, not everybody believes. It's not a universal belief, that whatever it might be. It's the ability to come to the beginning of finding out it doesn't meet the definition of truth. But if you just live in a walled city, you can never find out. It takes longer to find out it's not the truth.
That's one of the reasons that the Talmud says that the person, the householder that takes the homeless into his home benefits far more than the homeless person does.
Daddy was the first Democrat I ever listened to.
One of the conservatives you like, probably the last.
Hey, now, wait a minute. The mantle's being passed.
The mantle better fall on the floor, or you're in for a hell of a ride.
I'm already in for a hell of a ride. I just want to fight in the iron.
I was just remembering when Michael Carlson first showed up, I told him that his place is custom made to piss you off.
I tried to get him to leave the day he got here. In fact, I tried to get him to leave before he ever came. All righty. Everybody, if you have a few minutes, please help Betty. It won't take long, but she has pared her belongings down. I'm so proud of her. Just about everything she owns will now fit on a camel.
Take it, big guy.